Hello, and welcome to Worship at Central. I am glad that you are here. If this is your first time worshiping with us, I want to say a special word of welcome to you. Thank you for being here. As we begin this holy time together, I invite you to light a candle. Each week, we light the candles on the altar at the beginning of our time of worship. We do this to remind ourselves of the light of Christ that is here among us. Light your candle and invite Christ to be with you. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in the beginning you created light and separated it from the darkness. In the fullness of time, Christ came to show us the light. As we embrace our role as children of the light, we ask you to light the path, clear our minds, open our hearts, and illumine our steps as we seek to be part of your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Testament lesson for today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This ends our first reading. As we come to a time of concerns and joys in our community, we want to be mindful of those here in our community and around the world with the coronavirus. We know that even though we are joyful about the vaccine that some of us have received and others are waiting for, that it is still a present reality for many. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, including some in our church family. I invite you to join me in a moment of silence, and then let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, here we are in the beauty of another day with the opportunity to worship with this church family. We thank you for these simple gifts that sustain us. Many of us here know your love because of a parent, a grandparent, or loved one cared enough to bring us to church. We are grateful for the love of these saints who walked before us, for mothers, fathers, grandparents, friends, mentors, who shared the light of Christ through their words and deeds. We know this love first comes from you, and for that we give thanks. Your love covers us in the midst of all life's celebrations and struggles. We confess that we don't always recognize your presence, especially when times are tough, but you are there. You are our rock and salvation. Lord, we pray for those going through dark times. May they know your light. We pray for your peace to be with those who feel like life has been turned upside down, especially for refugees and children living without a loving home. We pray for strength for those facing cancer, dementia, chronic illness, the coronavirus, and addiction. We pray for daily bread for too many people around the world facing hunger. You know our concerns and the needs of the world before we speak. We ask you to be with those prayers on our hearts now. As we continue to worship, help us to be attentive to your voice. Help us to listen and invite you to the workings of our everyday lives. Give us strength and guidance in reflecting your light to the world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A month ago, we anxiously awaited the new reality of 2021. Many of us began the year with hope and expectation for a new year different than that of 2020. With the vaccine now available, we have friends and acquaintances who have received doses of the shot. We have witnessed an insurrection of the Capitol, the beginning of impeachment proceedings, and the inauguration of a new president. January of 2021 has been an eventful month. With the return to school, work, and life after the holidays, it remains evident the substantial role that the coronavirus plays in our lives. We have friends and loved ones diagnosed with the virus. We know those who have lost their lives to it. Our interactions with one another are guided by safety restrictions. We have adapted to this COVID reality with masks, distance, and limited physical interactions. We have even learned new technology beyond some of our wildest imaginations. These changes to our reality over the past year have not only affected our way of interacting with the world, they have affected our life as a community. They have affected our lives as individuals. They have affected our way of being in the world. Some of us find ourselves without much change to our daily schedules. Some have adjusted. Others of us are still planting our feet after being shaken. Regardless of how you find yourself responding to the world around us, I invite you to listen to the Spirit stirring. Listen for a word from the Lord. A reading from Matthew chapter 5. Hear now the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For me, this passage brings about a fond sentimentality of childhood days singing This Little Light of Mine. This passage is one of comfort and grounding. It is a reminder of who I am and who I am called to be. It is also a reminder of who you are and who you are called to be. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In a topsy-turvy time that at times drives us to escapism, in a wordy-turvy time that leaves us grasping for blinders to the world beyond the necessary, in an upside-down time that leaves us complacent to any sense of normalcy, in an overwhelming time that urges us to neglect our most important relationship, we are stuck trying to figure out life. And in doing so, at times, we forget who we are and whose we are. Today, we are here to remember this truth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Our identity as such is not of our own volition. It comes from God. Our saltiness is more than a chemical reaction between sodium and chloride. Our light is more than the light of a lantern lighting our path. The light we carry is the light of Christ, the light of the world. These are some of Jesus' first teachings in Matthew. The disciples join him for what we affectionately call the Sermon on the Mount. This section on salt and light follows Jesus' teaching on the Beatitudes. What begins as a discourse on the blessed turns to a conversation on identity and discipleship. Here, Jesus teaches using common objects to show us who we are and who we can be. Amazingly enough, these common images of salt and light are relevant to both the disciples and modern readers. Salt is one of the most basic and versatile ingredients in cooking. I imagine that everyone here today has salt of some shape or form in their kitchen. We use salt to bring out the flavor of foods that we eat. You know the importance of salt if you have ever eaten grits without some. Salt makes all the difference. Perhaps more commonly done by Jesus' contemporaries, we know salt has a role in preserving fish and other meats. We may lack appreciation for salt until its absence, but salt is and was important. So much so that soldiers in the Roman army were sometimes even paid in salt. In a time before the magic of electricity, light was everything. Without the sun or fire, there was no ambient light. There was darkness. The light of a candle meant the difference in pitch black darkness and seeing. The sun and fire illumined the world. These images may seem a bit simplistic, but that is where their power lies. We can all relate. Salt and light were necessities to Jesus' contemporaries. They are underappreciated necessities to us. They are images children can understand. And if we allow ourselves to appreciate their value, we can see their power for ourselves. I have thought long and hard about what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world during this time. Before the pandemic, it would have been easy enough to recommend local mission work, like supporting the Soup Kitchen, SPIN, Total Ministries, and others. While the work of these worthy ministries has not ceased, COVID has affected our ability to safely volunteer. I don't want to discourage you from supporting work to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, welcome the stranger, and visit the sick and in prison. We are called to do all these things. But our opportunity to be the salt and light goes beyond volunteer opportunities and monetary support. We are called to be the salt and light in our daily lives and living, even in quarantine, even in this new way of doing things, even in 2021. And so we are left with the questions. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? What does it mean to be the light of the world? How do we prevent ourselves from losing our saltiness or hiding our light? How can we live into this calling? Perhaps before we can even attempt to answer these questions, we must remind ourselves of where Jesus begins the conversation, with the blessedness of others. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This vision of the kingdom of God guides our work as people of salt and light. We must both recognize the blessedness of others and live into the paradoxical vision given by Jesus in the Beatitudes. When we start from a place of such understanding, we are grounded in our work as salt and light. During the time of the pandemic, as we adapt to necessary changes, home has become the centralized place for all our activities. Home is where it all begins. Life begins at home with our spouses, our children, our quarantine crew, and even ourselves. This, too, is where our work to be salt and light begins. Be the salt and light by bringing compassion, love, and grace into your own homes. Sometimes being salt and light looks a lot like having patience with your housemates. Sometimes it is reaching out as a friend to simply see how they are doing. Sometimes being salt and light is an invitation to have grace for yourself when you don't or can't do all the things. To quote Dr. John Simmons, parenting is the hardest job you'll ever have, and being a spouse comes in close second. This shift in our lives has created new expectations of parents. There's a whole new meaning to the term work-life balance. Changing support systems and safety concerns only add to the balancing act of being a parent in a time of glorifying perfection worthy of social media. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. At times like this, it might be difficult for us to look beyond the home, but when we step out our front door, we see the very real need for salt and light. Racism, sexism, homophobia, ageism, ableism, and classism are all alive and present in this world. These have no place in the picture of the kingdom of God that Jesus painted. Being salt and light means working against that which is not the kingdom of God. Followers of Christ, bring the light without being hampered. Within these verses, there is the temptation for Christians to dilute the work of letting one's light shine into being a good person. While Wesleyan theology brings faith beyond sola scriptura and salvation through works, works coming from our faith does not negate personal responsibility. This past year has been one of enlightenment for many of us light-skinned Americans. The deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Patrick Warren, and many others have brought to the forefront white supremacy and institutional racism seeped in our American lives and institutions. For too long, we have been blind and complacent. For too long, we have thought that it is enough to be good. If I have learned anything about white supremacy, it is that it isn't enough to not be racist. We must actively be anti-racist. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Don't let salt lose its saltiness. Don't hide your light under a bushel. This call is not an easy one, especially as the world is changing around us. Such a seemingly simple thing can be overwhelming, but the world needs you. I began with two ways we can live into our calling as salt and light. However, these are not the only places in need of salt and light. Where do you see the need for light in the world? Where can we participate in bringing justice? How can we be a part of the kingdom of God here on earth? God is doing a new thing. All of the changes of this past year don't change a thing about God's presence in this world or our calling to be the salt and the light. Let us not strive to be normal. Be the salt. Be the light. In closing, I leave you with the words of Amanda Gorman, the National Youth Poet Laureate, from her work, The Hill We Climb. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. Grant that your people, illumined by your word, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, now and forever. Amen.
Oh.
As we end this time of worship together, remember that we do not extinguish the light of Christ. Carry it with you into the world. And may God be in your head and in your understanding. God be in your eyes and in your looking. God be in your mouth and in your speaking. God be in your heart and in your thinking. God be at your end and in your departing. Amen.